NBC presents Four Star Playhouse, a repertory company of four great Hollywood stars.
This is Robert Cummings.
This is Rosalind Russell.
This is Fred McMurray.
This is Loretta Young.
Yes, these are the stars heard weekly on Four Star Playhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our four-star players and star of tonight's play, Robert Cummings. Thank you. As many of you know by now, every Sunday night at this time, Rosalind Russell, Fred McMurray, Loretta Young, and I appear in new dramatizations of stories selected from Cosmopolitan magazine, stories written by the world's leading writers of popular fiction. Tonight's story is a slightly delirious yarn by Robert Carson, that master of magnificent nonsense. We were not alone in our admiration of this story because it's been purchased for motion pictures. I play the part of John J. Grace, a serious young capitalist who learns about women from the third girl from the right in a chorus line. I hope you have as much fun hearing as we're going to have doing Third Girl from the Right. Overture, please.
My name is Hal South, dignified public relations and scandal skillfully averted. I give you as reference my client, the banker, John J. Grace. But if you're expecting him to be someone with a naked dome or with plenty of hair graying at the temples, forget it. My client Johnny's in his 30s, with slick dark hair and the physique of an all-American end. The trouble with my well-heeled client was that he inherited several jillion dollars at an early age and took over the presidency of the Golden State Bank. And, brother, do not delude yourself. The kid could swing a merger with the best of them. But he worked too hard. He was too serious. And girls? Johnny never even looked at women. Oh, they looked at him all right, but our Johnny didn't react. This can lead to race suicide. All work and no hoopla was certainly making this Jack a dull boy. Well, one night, I suffered a rush of brains to the head. I got the sparkling idea that it'd be jolly if I took my client Johnny to a girl show at the Old Time Theater in Los Angeles to munch a pretzel and glance at some gams, all in the interest of relaxation, of course.
Hal, I think we can leave now.
Huh? Oh, the show isn't over. Johnny, the girls are coming by.
I've seen what I wanted to see.
But, Johnny,
let's go.
Now, look, Johnny. Either we go back inside and see the rest of the show, or we go home. Leave us not clutter up the theater terrace like this.
We're not going home, Hal.
Yeah, you got to get up early and knock off another mere million. At least until business gets better.
Did you notice that third girl from the right?
Now, Johnny, you're a big man, Johnny.
She had dark blue eyes, black hair, and a skin like camellia petals. I want to meet her.
Johnny, you are the young and clear-eyed custodian of half the folding money in California. From a public relations standpoint, this is ungood.
Go handle the private relations, Hal. I'll meet you at the Wilshire Top Hat, table for three.
Miss Eleonora Duse Hatfield, this is my client, Mr. John J. Grace.
Mm.
How do you do, Miss Hatfield? Won't you sit down?
I could only stay 2 or 3 hours.
Look, Johnny, tomorrow's another day.
Sit down, Hal. What do you folks have from the bar?
Double cyanide.
I never drink before the big game.
What big game?
You, Buster.
Beg pardon?
Tell me your angle, and I'll tell you mine.
Well, I assure you that I'm merely interested in buying you a limited number of drinks and listening to your talk.
Why?
Well, you see, I don't have much time for women, and, well, you're very different. I thought the change would be good for me.
Hmm. I hear you've got all the change in California.
Because my grandfather was in the gold rush in 49.
Yeah, He got there before the goods got counter to it.
You run several banks and railroads, too. Huh?
Yes, clumsily.
He should live, though. He's terrific.
You married Johnny?
No.
Oh, boy! This is what I've been looking for. No wife and loaded.
Loaded?
Have your gold dust weighed and get set, big boy.
Well, I admire your straightforward approach.
Perfect 34.
No, I mean, you're so honest, and after all, so much in my own family tradition. Your grandfather was a gold digger, too.
I give you fair warning, Marowell. I'm going to marry you and lift your poke.
Why, it's very sporting of you to tell me. In what way may I reciprocate?
I'll have the auditor send her a complete statement of your financial condition.
Hey, I bet you think I'm kidding.
No, I'm sure you're very serious.
Yeah, out to make an honest millionaire.
For one solid year, I've been exhibiting the frame in public, just hoping I'd catch the eye of some chump like you. Let's go someplace where it's dark and hold hands.
Boss, where you go, I go.
What's he?
My public relations counsel.
Well, this is my first double date without another girl. Well, let's get down to the romantic details.
Yes. I'm worth millions.
Oh, darling.
I'm not sure just how many millions.
Well, just give me an estimate.
Shall I include the $8 million in trust fund, which becomes mine when I'm 40?
Every little bit helps.
It's a veritable financial empire.
Oh, my dream, Prince.
Perhaps you'll be content to know that I have more than I'll ever be able to spend.
Well, I'll help you. A wife should always be a help to her old man.
Well, Eleanor, you're so absolutely and utterly charming in your candor.
Oh, you ought to see me in my bathing suit.
Well, now, where would you like to go? It's late, or I'd invite you up to my apartment to look at my gold mining certificate.
We have just met, Mr. Grace. Just take me home. You can kiss me goodnight.
Is that all right with you, Hal?
Well, make it a short one.
But put a nice head on it, huh, Johnny?
Yes. Well, I... Hal, yeah, open some more charge accounts. I'm going to need them. Yes, Eleanor, I hear you. Can you hear me?
How couldn't she hear that golden voice?
You what? You want me to send back that expensive mink coat?
That ain't natural, or else the mink wasn't.
Oh, you wanted an expensive chinchilla coat, I see.
Yeah, me too, now.
Yeah, well, I'll take care of it, Eleanor, darling. Okay, bye, dear. Bye. Bye.
How strong can a guy's stomach be?
Yes, bye, lovey pie.
Lovey pie. Johnny, you gotta ditch that doll.
Yes, don't worry. I've got her number, Hal.
And you call it too often.
Well, perhaps you're right. I'd better break it off somehow. But how?
Can she swim?
Yes.
Too bad. Johnny, if you don't give her the brush yourself, I'm gonna tell Rogers or the board of directors.
Rogers? Hey, good idea. Tell Rogers. He'll know how to help me get rid of Eleonora.
Johnny, what's this about some affair of yours with a chorus girl?
Well, Mr. Rogers, sir, it's nothing too serious.
Nothing serious? Johnny, I knew your father for an honest man who never trifled with the affections of an innocent young girl.
What innocent young girl?
This poor chorus girl you've been sparking.
Well, she isn't going to be poor long if she can fix it. Look, sir, whose side are you on, anyhow? How would it look if I married that girl?
Don't you like her?
But you're supposed to be against this sordid match.
Why?
Why? Well, because you've got to be, that's why. Think of the bank, the railroads, the stockholders. Bank prez weds chorus cutie. Now, how will that stack up with the people who've come to rely on my high-starch collars and the air of rectitude I've been wearing?
My boy, all the world loves a lover, if you'll overlook the cliché.
Yeah, but this woman is a self-confessed gold digger. She called her shots, and here you are helping her make them.
Is that against the girl? When George Herman Ruth pointed over the fence with his bat in the World Series and then hit that home run, people loved him for it.
Well, that was a different babe.
Actually, I'm young enough at 65 to think the girl will do you a lot of good.
Well, she'll relieve me of my embarrassment of riches, that's for sure.
You've grown stuffy and self-important trying to fill your father's shoes. You're losing your youth. Eleonora may give you some heartaches, but she may teach you to relax.
Relax? With youth? Eleonora?
Youth is short, my boy. Be foolish while you're young so the folly won't last too long. That's all, Johnny.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, Mr. Rogers.
And for the honor of our sex, Johnny, just be a little hard to get.
I must say, you're a big help.
I hope so, Johnny.
And may I add, sir, that as our most respected board member, you ought to wash out your mouth with soap and water?
Well, how'd it go, poor little rich boy?
Oh, terrible. He's on her side. Now what do I do?
Midas, you've got to tell Eleonora off.
Well, how? I like the girl.
Well, tell her you're engaged.
Engaged?
Engaged. That's it. You're engaged.
No. No, Hal, I can't answer that amazing girl's amazing honesty with a white lie.
What other colors have you got?
Oh, I don't know. I'll tell her tonight.
Tell her what?
Oh, don't worry.
I do worry. You love the girl and you're a nice guy and I'm afraid to leave you alone with her.
Well, I'm having dinner with her. The waiter will come around often to empty the ashtrays.
Johnny.
Hey, I promise to smoke continuously during the dinner.
Yeah, and come right home. I don't want you going to some strange justice of the peace.
Buster, whom are you looking for?
The waiter. I'm out of cigarettes.
You've smoked all of mine. Hey, you're a regular chain smoker.
Well, just so I don't become a ball and chain smoker.
What?
Nothing. Eleonora, there's something that I must tell you.
Is this a proposal?
Why do you always ask, is this a proposal, when I'm merely having trouble swallowing?
It isn't strep throat.
No, no, it's a halter tightening around my neck.
Oh, darling!
Oh, stop, now you're choking me.
Oh, golden boy!
No, Eleanor, you're wrong for me, Eleanor. We're different.
Why am I wrong for you? Give me 15 reasons why I'm wrong for you.
Well, you're just wrong for me, that's all.
With me, you won't have such a big income tax.
Oh, that's a lovely thought, Eleanor, but I'm not buying.
Now, listen, you've got so many assets, what you need is a good, healthy liability like me.
Eleanor, I don't want to discuss you as a business proposition. I wouldn't care what you cost.
Dreamboat.
A wife isn't an investment.
Then I'm your girl.
I don't expect to issue profit and loss statements on my marriage when I marry.
September.
Look, I want a companion to share my life and my home and one who won't shed all over the furniture. Which, of course, rules out man's best friend and rules in man's worst enemy and dearest necessity, woman.
I'm a kangaroo.
Eleonora, you are a greedy, selfish, seeking, grasping, scheming, heartless, case-hardened, rapacious, predatory, money-mad Lorelei, Lilith, and Temptress. Would you marry me?
Ask me nice.
I love you. I want you to marry me.
I'd have to think about it. Okay, I've thought about it. Darling.
Now let's go down and have our heads examined. You are listening to the 4-Star Playhouse dramatization of Robert Carson's cosmopolitan story, Third Girl from the Right, starring Robert Cummings, with Shirley Mitchell as Eleonora. Well, Eleonora accepted my invitation to marriage as reluctantly as the wolf gobbled grandma in the well-known fairy tale. Hal South decided it would be smart public relations if we made the least possible publicity of the nuptials. So we all drove to Las Vegas. We were doing as well as could be expected with Hal along until we drove up to the office of the Justice of Peace. When suddenly, Eleonora burst into tears.
Oh, Johnny, it's no use. I can't do it. I simply can't do it.
You can't do what?
What's the matter now, bandit girl?
Oh, we're making a terrible mistake, John.
No, 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 we're not, darling. Why?
Well, I'm a strange, unstable character, while you are a good, dull, hard-working young man. Marriage to me will ruin your life. This can never be.
Oh, yes, it can, Eleonora. I'll do anything to make you happy.
No.
I won't be honest and sincere and hardworking anymore. I'll become a playboy.
No, Johnny.
I'll become worthless, and you'll help me.
Hey, Johnny, this doll's on the level.
Yeah, I started out liking your loot, but now I'm in love with you. I've changed my mind about marrying you, Johnny.
Oh, Eleonora.
I changed my mind, too. Eleonora, suddenly I think you are the peachiest little mouse I ever saw, and I insist that you marry my boy.
I want you, darling. I can afford a few foolish luxuries.
Oh, Johnny, that's all I want to know.
Oh, don't say that, baby. You've got a lot to learn. She had a lot to learn, and she learned it. Mr. Rogers of the board of directors had been perfectly correct. My marriage steadied me wonderfully for a while. I used less starch in my collars. I stopped sirring everyone who was a year older than I was. Eleonora's gowns became more conservative. The more you saw of Eleonora, the less you saw of Eleonora. Her voice grew softer. She watched the accounts. She wouldn't let me play the horses. She acquired the serious expression of a girl trying to make up low grades in college. Eleonora got culture.
Johnny is simply wonderful to me, Hal. Simply wonderful. Oh, I have a wonderful existence. I garden, I work with charities and keep the budget. John is at the bank all day, but that gives me time for my reading. Have you ever read Tolstoy's War and Peace?
I hadn't even read Tolstoy's War and Peace. I wanted to spend money, and Eleonora wanted to save it. I wanted the movies, and she wanted... the opera. There came an evening when there was a dinner party in our home. Well, the party was gay with conversation about trusts, holding corporations, interest rates, and mergers. Eleonora had just finished outlining the plot of War and Peace to Mr. Rogers, our patron saint. Rogers turned to me, smiling benevolently.
Johnny, you see, I was right. Your choice in Eleonora here was beyond reproach.
Thank you, Rogers.
Oh, you're very sweet, Mr. Rogers. If I cannot be an inspiration to my husband, I hope at least to be a worthy helpmeet.
Exactly, my dear.
Yeah.
Well said, Eleonora.
Yeah.
And you must lend me Tolstoy's War and Peace if Tolstoy doesn't want it back right away.
Oh, Mr. Rogers, Tolstoy...
See
is
you
the...
later,
oh.
Johnny, and we'll make some more money.
Oh, he's just an old dear.
He's just a stuffed shirt.
Darling!
They're all stuffed shirts.
Darling!
And don't give me that lantern-jawed Park Avenue Nasal Academy accent either.
I declare.
And I'm sick of Tolstoy's War and Peace.
Now, wait a minute.
You're
there,
getting
Buster.
As dull as the rest
now
of us.
Now you've done it, Buster. Now you've done it. I've made myself into a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and this is my reward.
I like the sow's ear. Not the silk purse, not War and Peace, not opera,
I'll
not...
I'll split the difference with you, Buster. From now on, you get war and no peace. Start running, Harvard man.
Huh?
Start running.
It is here at this point where I wish to refute the slander that my wife chased me into the pantry and smote me with a baseball bat. It was not a Louisville slugger. It was a plaid silk umbrella. There were also some harsh words exchanged, of which the following is the only authorized version.
And after all I've done to make myself a good wife for you and not spend your little $100 million nest egg, well, I'm going to Reno.
But you can't consider the scandal.
I'm going right now.
You know, I'll provoke a strike and stop the trains.
I'll drive.
Well, there's a gasoline strike on already. You might never get to Reno.
Oh, I'll get there all right. This certainly has been a lesson to me. No successful marriage can be founded on love. Why wasn't I satisfied just to take you for your bundle?
Well, it's been a lesson to me, too. I had a dull life loaded down with responsibilities. You meant glamour, romance, excitement. So what happened? You have to be a helpmeet and inspire me. Look at that umbrella. It's ruined.
I'm going to Reno.
Well, go to Reno.
I'm getting a divorce.
Get one for me, too.
I'm going with Hal.
Why with Hal?
I like Hal.
I like Hal, too.
Huh? Well, it's getting pretty frigid in these mountains.
Yes, and cold, too.
Well, there's always the weather when you want to be dull.
Yeah, I'm just thinking we're almost out of gas in the mountains, in the dark, and maybe snow.
Well, there's a lodge a couple of miles ahead, Camp Ababinappi.
There, who?
Ababinappi. We'll spend the night there.
Oh. May I make one suggestion? You two lovebirds register under your maiden name.
Why?
Well, we don't want the press to find out Mr. and Mrs. John J. Grace are taking separate rooms just yet. Give me time to salvage some kind of good public relations out of this situation.
Oh, my boy.
Trying to do my job is all.
Is that the lodge up ahead? Hello there.
Welcome, stranger, to Camp Abadabanappy.
Hello. Ababanappy.
Been here 40 years. Can't say it right yet.
I'd like some rooms for tonight.
Empty, that is?
Well, preferably. Mm-hmm. If necessary, we'll share with a responsible mountain lion who's had his supper.
I sign the register, mister. My name's Bert Hicks. I own this place.
Own it in good health.
Yeah. Been here 40 years. You wouldn't believe it, but I'm 64 years old.
Well, you don't look a day over 80. There you are, Bert.
Yes, sir. Not a day over 80. It's a clean mountain air. Let's see now. John Grace, Miss Eleanora Hatfield.
And Harold South. They're outside in the car.
Harold South?
He's my boy.
You're pretty young for a father, ain't you?
Well, I was a child bridegroom.
You don't look a day over 45.
Well, I'll go and call in the others.
It's a slicker. Fixed his wagon all right. I don't look a day over 80, huh?
Woo! Nevada, and you can have it.
Much obliged to you, Mr. South.
Where did Miss Hatfield and Mr. Grace go?
Upstairs, why?
Look, old-timer, I want you to do me a favor.
It depends.
Now, you see, Miss Hatfield and Mr. Grace are really married. Just pretending they're not.
Well, that's a switch.
Yeah. Look. Look, I want you to turn off all the heat in the lodge tonight.
But, baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But I know what I'm doing.
Well, now, is that all you want?
Oh, one other thing. Have you got a shotgun in the joint?
Shotgun? What are you up to?
Who is it?
Johnny.
You shouldn't be here. You're getting a divorce.
I'm getting pneumonia.
Yeah, me too.
Well.
Hal, this is awful. Now, wait until the board of directors hears about this.
Hears about what, Johnny?
Well, last night, it turned bitterly cold in our room, my room.
Go no further, Johnny. I understand. I was cold, too.
But nothing was settled.
Oh.
She still wants a divorce.
Oh. Well, play it straight, Golden Boy. Pretend you're still sore, too.
Yeah?
Sure, she'll eat out of your hand.
Hal, a man's best friend is his press agent.
Hal, this is awful.
Go no farther, child.
Yes, but you don't know what happened.
I know.
Last night, the temperature having declined numerous degrees...
Say no more, Eleanora.
But he's still going to let me leave him.
Oh. Well, adopt an attitude of womanly submission.
Yeah?
That always gets him.
It does?
Sure. Tell him you're going to have a baby.
Hal, you're wonderful. How did you know?
Well, I...
Who told you? Hey, and where should I tell him?
Well, wait a minute. I know, in the lobby.
The lobby?
Yeah, in front of old man Hicks, the proprietor.
But Hal, I don't...
Do as I have counseled. Go.
I was walking through the lobby after a solitary breakfast when I saw Eleanora at the desk talking to Bert Hicks. As I walked over to them, Eleanora gave out with some casual tidings, which had no effect on me whatsoever, maybe just to stop my heart in its tracks for a second.
Oh, Johnny, I'm going to have a baby.
What?
A baby.
Wait a minute. Whose baby?
Mine, of course.
But you ain't married.
Well, you see, Bert...
Who said it was his?
What?
It is, though.
Hey?
No, everybody wait. Look, this woman...
You hound of Hades. You cad, you. Don't you this woman, that woman.
But
that pure, good-looking, unsullied, whatchamacallit.
Now, look, Rip Van Winkle, we're married.
Then why'd you register separate and take different rooms?
I...
You lie. on your knees, man, and beg this poor gal's forgiveness.
Now, put down that shotgun.
Deer rifle. But it works on stag, too.
Do you want to kill somebody?
Yes, you. Unless you ask this unsullied, whatchamacallit, to be your wife.
But I tell you...
Do it, sir, by the eternal...
All right. Don't shoot. I'll marry her.
Yeah. And just to make sure you do, I'm the justice of the peace these parts. Now get up off on the floor and act dignified. This is a wedding.
And then let's discuss the baby's name, huh, lover boy?
Oh, why do we have to stand out here and look at our baby through a glass? Why can't we go inside?
Well, darling, we might give them something.
Well, just my watch to play with won't hurt.
She's got my eyes, but she has your nose. And just think, we owe our happiness to scientific public relations.
Yeah. Who would have thought that Hal South would have bribed old man Hicks to turn off the heat in the lodge that night and stage that scene the next morning? Mm.
Baby has my guns, don't you think? But that ribbon doesn't match your eyes.
Ribbon?
It doesn't match.
Oh, you're looking at somebody else's baby.
But how do you tell? They all look alike.
Oh, easy. Our baby is the third girl from the right. What else? Four-star Playhouse, Robert Cummings speaking.
Hello, Bob. This is your girl next Sunday, Roz Russell.
Roz Russell, well, how are you? Although what I'm really trying to say is, how was I? How'd you like my show? I didn't hear anything, Roz.
I didn't say anything. I was preserving 3 seconds of silence for my friends who were listening to the show with me. You killed them.
Ah, that's what I like to hear. How about your show on Four-Star next Sunday, Roz?
Story by Elizabeth Sanxay Holding, entitled... Be careful, Mrs. Williams. I play Mrs. Williams, secure in a happy marriage until a friend whispers, don't look now, dear. You may be losing your husband.
Well, what a thing for a girlfriend to say.
The friend is a man.
Oh, I see a triangle. Well, I always wanted to be in one. Be listening to you, Sunny Roz.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
Bye, Roz. And goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Four Star Playhouse, tonight starring Robert Cummings in Third Girl from the Right, written by Robert Carson and adapted for radio by Milton Geiger. Shirley Mitchell was featured as Eleonora. Others in the cast were Paul Frees, Ross Taylor, and Will Wright. Four Star Playhouse is directed by Warren Lewis. Music composed and conducted by Albert Harris. Portions were transcribed. Robert Cummings can currently be seen in the Walter Wanger production, Reign of Terror. Each week at this time, one of our four-star players, Rosalind Russell, Fred McMurray, Loretta Young, and Robert Cummings, will be heard in special adaptations of popular fiction stories selected from Cosmopolitan magazine, written by the world's foremost fiction authors. On future weeks, you will hear Fred McMurray in The Life and Death of George Wilson by Neil Patterson, and Loretta Young in Once Upon a Horse by Virginia Faulkner. Next week on Four Star Playhouse, Rosalind Russell will star in Elizabeth Sanxay Holding's story, Be Careful, Mrs. Williams. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.